ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wizards open up tonight against the Bucks. It is going to be another season where it's going to be all about the young guys and the development of the young guys, even though there are a couple of veterans on the roster. Chase Hughes will be documenting the season, covering it as he has for many years now for Monumental Sports. He's also a radio sideline reporter for the Wizards Radio Network. You can follow Chase on X at Chase DC Sports. And he's got a YouTube show podcast called Off the Bench. So you can get that anywhere you get your podcasts and on YouTube, and probably he'll link it from his X account. So, you know, it snuck up on us this season. Real quickly, did you watch both games last night?
I watched the entirety of the first one and part of the second one.
First of all, love the NBC return to the NBA. I mean, for me, it's, you know, a throwback to the Jordan era and those great, you know, 90s era games. But how about Kevin Durant not getting teed up for calling that timeout, doing the Chris Webber thing at the end of the first overtime? How did he get away with that?
I don't know. I mean, I heard Shai Gilgeous-Alexander talk about it after the game and said that if you were on the court, you could see it. And you could hear it. I mean, even in that loud stadium, one of the loudest in the league, you heard him try to do it about three times. And SGA was very forgiving. He said, you know, people make mistakes. The refs made mistakes. But if OKC had lost that game, I wonder what he would have said.
I'm wondering if you observed the same thing last night about Kevin Durant. I said this at the beginning of the show. I thought he looked old last night. I thought he looked 37 years old. He couldn't get separation. Now, look, Oklahoma City is one of the great defensive teams in modern era NBA basketball. It is hard against that team, as we saw during the postseason last year. But I thought he looked really old and not KD-like. Did you see the same thing or not?
I did notice that. I would say, first of all, OKC's defense might be one of the best of all time.
Like, yeah, of course.
And so when I was watching like Reed Shepard and Amen Thompson, two guys who I think are going to be really good, Amen Thompson in particular, they couldn't really get by anyone. And I'm wondering, like, okay, well, what happens when they play a normal team, a human basketball team, right, that doesn't have that defense? But in terms of Kevin Durant, you know, it is interesting. You know, everyone, I think, accurately predicted that his game would age really well. Even after the Achilles injury, everyone thought he'd have a chance to come back and still be really good because of the way he plays. And he has. But if you look deeper at the numbers, he doesn't really get to the rim or get dribble penetration at all anymore. He's really an outside shooter, and he's still really, really good at it. He'll still give you 26, 27 points per game. But that other element of his game is really diminished. So, you know, Father Time is undefeated. I think that's, you know, a given. But it will be interesting to see how he fits in. And, you know, can the Rockets continue to be the powerhouse that they were last year incorporating him because other teams have tried, and obviously it hasn't been as easy as you might think it would be.
Yeah, I do think Amon Thompson is going to be a star, and I think everybody believes that. It's just, it was an interesting, you know, first game and first matchup, and yeah, what you said is true. I mean, I just think back to May and June and what Oklahoma City did defensively. It was some of the most unbelievably, you know, it was so overwhelming, their defense at times. I would come in here, you know, after a game, and they couldn't make, it's like the other team couldn't make a first down. You know, they couldn't make forward progress in some of those drives. So yeah, tough matchup for the opener, for Kevin Durant. All right, let's talk about the Wizards. It's, you know, going to be another one of those seasons. Before we talk about the roster and what you're expecting, you know, just overall, I mean, you think this is what, year three of year what before we can expect a competitive team?
I think 5 years total. I mean, I think the timeline that Michael Winger and Will Dawkins have alluded to is, you know, certainly they don't expect to compete for the postseason this year, but, you know, based on what they've said and the average NBA rebuild, you know, maybe next year, certainly the year after that. So I think probably 4 to 5 years. I kind of look at rebuilds in terms of how many drafts have you done. They've done 3 drafts. I think the average NBA rebuild's probably 4 to 5 drafts, right? You're not going to be picking top 5, top 10 forever. So they've collected a lot of picks. And I think what will be exciting to watch this year is that, you know, they needed time to collect those draft picks, and now they have them. So there's a bounty of young players, a lot of whom were hand-selected by the team in the first round. And now I think we can really start evaluating what is hopefully meaningful progress for their young players. And it's, you know, the rookies, obviously we're going to watch Trey Johnson and Will Riley and what they do, but the year-over-year development is absolutely essential to what they're trying to do. Will Dawkins and Mike Winger have talked about it many times, but player development is like probably the most important ingredient to what has been successful in Oklahoma City. And they believe that, you know, if you draft a guy in the first round, they really begin at a very similar starting point to every other first round pick. It's what happens after that. And they've also said that it takes, you know, close to 10 years to see a guy reach his peak. Obviously they don't expect it to take 10 years to be a competitive team. But like a Bilal Coulibaly, Alex Starr, Bob Carrington, Keyshawn George, these guys who have been in the system for a year plus, like they're looking for those guys to take steps forward.
What do you think about that? I think that's a really interesting point. I don't think people think about it that way, but it's true that, you know, a lot of these players, unless they're true transcendent talents, but, you know, everybody else, it's, you know, it's a matter of, did they get drafted by the team where they're the right fit and they're being developed by the right people? So do the Wizards have a good developmental team?
I think they do. I think Brian Keefe being in charge is an important thing to note because of his track record, not only in Oklahoma City with guys like SGA and Durant and Westbrook and Harden, but players at other stops too. He's got a really good background in that regard. But, you know, ultimately they got to walk the walk in that sense, right? And so I think you look at these young players, you know, can they maximize their strengths, minimize their weaknesses? Can they find the right role for themselves? I think Keyshawn George will be an interesting guy to watch this year. He's a little bit older and more experienced than the other first round picks. And I think he's
older, by the way, meaning what, 21, 22?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When I say older, it's all relative.
Right.
But he has arguably shown the most promise, I think, as a two-way player.
Me too.
And that might be surprising to some people because he was the 24th pick.
Yeah.
But he really came on in the second half last year. The shooting never really caught up, but that was considered his biggest strength as a draft prospect. And then he was the best player on the summer league team. I think he was one of the best players in the preseason. You hear about practices behind the scenes. He's the one who is, you know, hitting the game-winning shots in the scrimmages they play. So I think he could be a great example, but, you know, certainly they would like to see a collection of these young guys take steps forward.
All right. So, by the way, in the and I didn't consume it like I typically do last year, but I kept saying, you know, he's the guy that has the best sort of two-way ability. And I think most NBA fans, most people know, it's really not about where they get drafted. We've seen so many of these stars end up going from the middle of the first round to, you know, obviously Jokic in the second round, who's the best player in the game today. So, what I want you to do here for the next, you know, minute or two is give me the order of their young players, the drafted players, the acquired players, because they didn't draft all of these young first-rounders. But out of all of these young players that we're going to be watching, hopefully develop, in terms of your personal view of how it will shake out 3 to 4 years from now, biggest contributor to the least amount of contribution. How do you see these young players shaking out? And I'll start by asking you this before you get to your order. Is there a true potential top five superstar on their roster right now, future?
That's a great question. I'll kind of frame this as like a top prospects list. You know, I used to cover baseball.
Yeah.
I might put Keyshawn George atop that list, to be honest, because you and I have both seen it, as you mentioned, and I also hear it from scouts and, like, people with other teams. Like, there are a lot of people around the league who think he's going to be a good player. And he's just got great feel. He's got a competitive edge that I really respect and I think will carry him a long way. So I'll start with him. I think I'll go Bilal Coulibaly second. And I'm surprised with people because, you know,
we're having a bit of an issue with your phone, and I don't want to miss this. So let's just try to get a clear – are you there?
Can you hear me now?
It's breaking up a little bit. So I'll let Max kind of figure it out with you because I don't want to miss any of these names. Coulibaly second. That's actually a surprise that he went with Coulibaly second. I love Coulibaly as a defender. I love him as a defender. I am getting a little bit concerned, and I shouldn't because, you know, this is just, you know, year three upcoming. But I wish he were a more consistent three-point shooting threat. He can guard you, though. He can absolutely guard you. Have we reestablished a better connection with Chase?
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, I got you now. Go ahead. So Coulibaly second. Why?
I'll go with him second. I know he's taken some heat for his offensive development last year, but if you look at the defensive metrics, he's like pretty close to being like an upper echelon wing defender. And so just seeing that, I think gives me confidence that at a minimum, he could be a really good defensive player. After that, I'll go Alex Starr. I think obviously he's going to have to improve his shooting, but his potential on defense is very obvious. I mean, he could be a prototypical 4/5 switch defender. Bub Carrington, I would probably put next. I was really impressed with what he did down the stretch of last season. And I was kind of answering a similar question in previous interviews where I said I really liked his potential, maybe compared to the rest of the roster. But, you know, he struggled a little bit in the summer league and a little bit in the preseason. So I'll put him behind Saar right now. And then Cam Whitmore. I mean, I'm really obviously intrigued in Cam Whitmore, but we got to see him defend and be a willing passer. Obviously, the talent is amazing. I thought he was a top five, top six pick in the draft. He fell for those kind of reasons, and he had those problems in Houston, and the Wizards aren't going to like allow him to play any different way than Houston did. They want to see the same thing, so that kind of remains to be seen. And then I guess Will Riley would be the next one, unless I'm missing someone. Will Riley is just, you know, younger and less developed than the other guys, but
yeah,
he was one of the most impressive players in the preseason, and I've heard some really good things about him from the veterans.
He's tough, man. So I loved him at Illinois last year.
Yeah, he's got a great motor and a great feel for the game. And C.J. McCollum, just a couple of details here. I asked him for a scouting report. He said he's like a very advanced cutter for his age. It reminds him of a European player and that he's got a very advanced use of his pivot foot, which I thought was a really cool detail. And he told me that, and I started to see it in the preseason. So if you're a Wizards fan, look out for that when Will Riley's on the court.
What do you think we're going to get from Trey Johnson? And do you have, like, if we went to next year at this time and I asked you the same question, is there a chance he's at the top of the list?
Yeah, I'll put Trey Johnson actually number two. I don't know how I forgot him. There's just too many young guys. But
yeah, no, that's fine. He hasn't played an NBA game yet, so it's fine.
Right. But I'm pretty high on Trey Johnson, at least as an offensive prospect. I think he's the best offensive talent they've drafted since Bradley Beal in 2012. I think he's going to hit the ground running as a shooter. Obviously, he's going to have to improve, you know, his ability to create off the dribble, his ability to defend. But I think he has a chance to put up a lot of points this year, and I think that's a big reason why he's second in Rookie of the Year odds behind Cooper Flagg.
I want to mention something to you. It's not about this roster. It is in some way, shape, or form, because they traded this player and they ended up getting, you know, some picks, and I think Bob Carrington was one of them. I was not a fan of them trading Denny Avdija. Do you think they're going to regret trading him?
I still don't think you could say it definitively, but certainly it's possible. I mean, you know, Bob Carrington's development is really important for that, but they also got a first round pick down the road. So
yeah,
like that trade is, you're not going to be able to evaluate in totality for quite a while, but you know, certainly Denny took a big step forward last year.
Huge step. He had taken a big step the year before in his last year here.
He had, and you know, one more big step, and you know, we might be talking about you know, a borderline all-star, and you and I have talked about whether he has all-star potential before, but you know,
I always thought he did. I may be wrong, but he averaged, you know, I was looking at something before having you on the show today. In the last month of the regular season in Portland, he averaged 23.4 points, 9.8 rebounds, and 5.2 assists over the final 13 games. For the season, he had a step-up season, averaged 16, 8, and 4. Plus, you know, he can get after it defensively. I just think his versatility, his size, I do think there's still a chance, because he's just 23 or 24 years old, that he could be an all-star future.
Yeah, and those numbers were tanked by the beginning of the season where he had to adjust to the trade. And he's kind of an emotional guy. I think it really kind of shook him up. And he had to adjust to a lot of new things, new city, all that. But, you know, when they made the trade, it was, okay, what is Bob Carrington going to look like when he's the age that Denny is now? You know, they're really taking the long view with this. So it's still very early in his development, and there's a lot of reason to believe that Bob Carrington could become a really good player. So I think we're just going to have to keep checking back on that one.
Talking to Chase Hughes, of course, he covers the team for Monumental. So give me a sense of what we're going to see. You know, by the way, so on the list, you essentially said, you know, Kyshawn, you think George and Trey Johnson, if 5 years from now they're a contender, 3 years from now they're competitive, 5 years from now they're a contender, that those two have a chance to be legitimate, you know, star players. And maybe they'll be paired with a Cameron Boozer or somebody out of the next draft or two. But you like their potential the most to spearhead, you know, a contending team 3, 4, 5 years down the road.
I do. I mean, obviously, Trey Johnson's one of the highest picks that they've made. And that was in what is considered to be a good draft, you know, unlike the draft that Sarr went second. And with Keyshawn, you know, I've seen it already. Like I've seen it and I've heard it from scouts. So like, I'm a big believer in, yes, like it's always fun to talk about potential and what a guy could be in theory. But when you see them out on the court actually produce, that says something to me. And I've seen that from Keyshawn George. So I really think he's got a high ceiling and can be one of those guys.
All right, starting tonight, you know, real games. So how will they trot out starting lineup and then kind of the top, you know, 8 or 9?
Well, the starting lineup, I think, is going to be the same that they had in the first and third preseason games, which was...
I didn't watch either one of those two, so tell me who that is.
I think they coincided with the NFL games. Bob Carrington, CJ McCollum, Keyshawn George, Chris Middleton, and Alex Sarr. That was the starting five. Trey Johnson will be one of the first players off the bench. Bilal Coulibaly is starting the season hurt. Corey Kispert, Justin Champagny, Marvin Bagley, I think they'll be in there. I'm trying to think who I'd be missing. I mean, A.J. Johnson's been banged up. I think he'll get some minutes. And Cam Whitmore is the big question mark. You know, we saw him play some in the preseason. I'm sure he'll get his opportunity. But this season's going to be interesting in that regard, because I think if the opportunity isn't there for some young guys, and it won't be for everyone, you know, maybe it will be after the trade deadline, or maybe it will be as injuries pave the way. So whatever you see with the rotation tonight, I think by the end of the season, they're going to make sure that they get all these young guys plenty of minutes.
How are CJ, like, how is CJ McCollum blending in? Is he, because, you know, when you make a trade for a Middleton, who's always been a class act and a great teammate, McCollum the same thing, you're looking for more than just veteran, you know, play on the floor when you're in the stage the Wizards are in now. How about the other stuff with them? Are they mentors? Are they in on this rebuild or not?
I think McCollum, I think both of them are willing mentors, and they are answering a lot of questions for the young guys. And I think McCollum in particular has an interesting angle there because Bob Carrington has long sort of seen some of himself in CJ McCollum. His older brother went to Lehigh. He's long been compared to CJ McCollum. And McCollum told me a great story. It was actually about Jahmyr Watkins, who's the Wizards' second round pick from this past draft. He said they were in the cold tub at the practice facility, and Watkins was asking him about Herb Jones, who McCollum played with in New Orleans with the Pelicans.
The Alabama player, Herb. You're saying Herb Jones.
Yeah, did I not say Herb Jones? Herb Jones? Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So he was saying Watkins was asking him not only, like, how does this guy prepare? He's one of the best wing defenders in the league, Herb Jones is. And he was like, how does he prepare? And then also, as an offensive player, you went up against him in practice many times. What makes him effective? So I think the Wizards have brought in a lot of young players who are inquisitive like that. And McCollum and Middleton, too, they happen to be very, like, gracious and willing mentors, but also guys who are just very good at explaining things. And, I mean, I think you watch an interview, particularly with McCollum, and you see that right away. So I think there's definitely a good veteran influence in this locker room. And the McCollum-Carrington thing could be interesting to watch because of their parallels.
All right, the over-under on wins is 20.5, over or under?
I'll go slightly over. I think they'll get to 21 or 22. You know, one thing when it comes to the wins, it's got to be kept in mind is the protections on their first-round pick. They have to really be top eight in the draft if they want to keep that pick because the New York Knicks own it. It's the same draft pick they traded with John Wall to get Russell Westbrook. And last year, the threshold for the fourth worst record in the league, which would ensure you a top eight pick, was 21 wins. It was the Pelicans, I believe, actually. So that's kind of the range. They won 15, 18. I think they take another step forward, a slight step forward, and hopefully, you know, see some development from their young players.
Can you imagine having to get – is it with Phoenix or New York that they would lose the pick to if they finished, you know, with the ninth worst record?
So Phoenix is involved, but it's New York, and if they keep the pick, then they can swap with the Phoenix Suns. But they have to keep the pick to be able to do that.
Got it. Okay. People, you want them to finish with one of the eight worst records. And really, last year, that buzzer beater by Bob Carrington in the final game of the year cost them some opportunity on the downside of their draft position. You know, it's like it's a weird spot, right? It's the, you know, it's another year of rooting to see hope and development, but not win too many games to get out of that position. I know you've probably spent a lot of time looking at next year's draft. For a few years now, it's been the Cameron Boozer draft, but now I know the kid from Kansas is at the top of a lot of boards now. So if they ended up with number one in the 2026 draft, is there an obvious, you know, a Wembanyama or a, you know, an obvious, you know, Cooper Flagg would have been certainly in so many ways, you know, impactful beyond even the basketball floor. But is there a player at the top of that 2026 draft that everybody will be salivating to get?
I think so. There's no Wembanyama. There's no LeBron. There's no Shaq. Those guys come around every 20 years, and they just have physical advantages that make it so that they're obviously going to be superstars. But there could be a Cooper Flagg or an Anthony Edwards or maybe both, because I think A.J. DeBanza at BYU has a lot of similarities to Cooper Flagg. I think he's going to be the number one pick right now, but these guys haven't really played any meaningful games. Darren Peterson of Kansas would be that Anthony Edwards type. But, you know, we got to see them play. You know, there's a lot of guys who have been highly ranked coming out of high school. You know, Cameron Boozer, I like him too. He's right now considered like the third pick. But, you know, you got to see the shooting percentages. You got to see how they look compared to other athletes. And, you know, like for every Anthony Edwards type athlete, there's two or three guys who are arguably just as athletic, maybe not quite as athletic, that just don't know how to play basketball, right? So we got to see it. But I think A.J. DeBanza, BYU, Darren Peterson, Kansas, and Cam Boozer at Duke are the three guys to watch right now, and they all three look like they could be really good.
Thanks for doing this, as always. Enjoy the season. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and don't forget, Chase has a podcast that is excellent on YouTube and Monumental. It's called Off the Bench. So Chase's podcast, if you're a Wizards fan, check it out. And you can get a link to it and more information on it on his X account at Chase DC Sports. All right, back to football when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
This segment of the show is brought to you by IHOP, introducing the IHOP value menu, where all your breakfast faves are just $6 each every day. Where else can you get a big filling sit-down breakfast for only $6? Go to your happy plates with the $6 IHOP value menu available every day at IHOP. $7 in some locations. Breakfast actually sounds really good right now. Didn't eat anything this morning. Before I get to a topic that we touched on yesterday, but we did not open up for phone lines, phone calls, the Regina Jackson, Jaden Daniels mom's tweet after the game on Sunday. I don't know if you guys saw any of these stories. There were a couple of interesting sports stories yesterday. First of all, Russell Wilson took a shot at Sean Payton. Sean Payton, I guess with the Broncos, by the way, coming back against the Giants in an unbelievable, comeback for the ages, really. He said, I guess, either before the game or after the game, that he had been talking to John Mara, the owner of the Giants, not that long ago, and said that he was hoping that the change to Jackson Dart would have happened long after the matchup against Denver, meaning we would have really preferred to have faced Russell Wilson instead of Jackson Dart on Sunday. Now, they ended up winning the game, but Dart has played well, since replacing Russell Wilson. And I think we saw with Russell Wilson, although The crazy part is what he did against Dallas in week two. But he was basically horrible and looked completely shot. Well, remember, Russ went from Seattle in the big trade to Denver, and it didn't work out in Denver. And Sean Payton basically couldn't stand Russell Wilson. A lot of people can't stand Sean Payton either. But I think we've learned, you know, over the years since Seattle traded him to Denver, Russ has been hard to deal with for organizations. You know, Hall of Fame career, I think, but just a diva at the highest level. And I think one of the most shocking revelations was that story that came out before his season in Denver, his first season in Denver, that Seattle was trying to trade him all the way back in 2016 and offered him to Cleveland for the number one pick in the draft, the Baker Mayfield draft, and Cleveland wouldn't do the deal. So Russell Wilson travels with an entourage that got completely squashed by Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh. And I don't know how it's worked out with the Giants, but anyway, Sean Payton took a shot at Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson fired back, tweeting yesterday, quote, about the comments that Sean Payton made, quote, classless, but not surprised. Didn't realize you're still bounty hunting 15 plus years later through the media. And then he had some laughing emojis and the hashtag Let's Ride, which I guess is the Denver catchphrase that he created when he was in Denver. I think it's interesting, you know, Sean Payton, there are a lot of people in the league that respect the hell out of him as a coach, but apparently he is a difficult guy personally. And Russ, obviously we've learned in recent years, is not what you would call one of the guys on the team. Far from it. You know, had his own situation with bathrooms and locker rooms and, you know, the whole situation that was going on in Seattle that we didn't know about until the Denver trade. And at one point, Sean Payton said, yeah, he's not getting his own locker room. He's not getting his own bathroom. He's not getting, you know, extra tickets and all of these things he wants. It's a new day here for Russell Wilson in Denver. And then, not football related, but I saw this story early this morning. It was an ESPN.com story written by Myron Medcalf. And it was quoting Tom Izzo about players, one in particular, who just committed to Louisville for college basketball. What's the story here? Well, this player was in the NBA's G League for 3 years. I had no idea you could do that. I had no idea you could go from the G League back to college. Izzo said about this particular situation, quote, I'm going to get myself in trouble, but I listen to people talk about how kids have changed. Kids aren't the problem. We're the problem. This was sprung on us again yesterday, where a guy can be in the G League for 2 or 3 years, and then all of a sudden, he's eligible? Most of my people knew nothing about it. I'm not real excited about the NCAA or whoever is making these decisions without talking to us, just letting it go. They're afraid they're going to get sued. So on Monday of this week, London Johnson, a former four-star player who's averaged 7.6 points per game in 3 seasons in the NBA's G League, announced that he was committing to Louisville. Last month, another G League player, Thierry Darland, announced his commitment to Santa Clara. You know, the moves, I think, would somehow defy the NCAA's, you know, amateurism rules and eligibility rules, which barred any player who played and took money at the professional level to go back and play in college. But apparently not. Per the NCAA's Division I manual, any athlete who has been compensated as a professional beyond actual and necessary expenses, a category that includes health insurance, meals, lodging, and transportation, cannot play college basketball. But the NCAA bent those rules recently for multiple international prospects who participated in professional leagues overseas, and so there was murkiness around that. And it created the opportunity for G League players to come back and play in college. I mean, what's next? A guy that's on an NBA roster that's not getting time and has eligibility left in college to go back and play college basketball? That doesn't make any sense to me. Doesn't make any sense. Look, I think what didn't make sense for a lot of years was when players committed to going into the NBA draft, putting their name into the NBA draft, and then not being able to come back to college if they didn't get drafted. I thought that was silly. But the purpose of it was, you know, college coaches couldn't wait until the June draft, the June NBA draft, to start putting together their rosters. They had to know, is a player in or is a player out? But that always seemed to hurt the player, right? Like he's committing to going into the NBA draft thinking there's a chance, even if it's just the second round, then he doesn't get drafted and he's done playing basketball? No, I always felt like if there was eligibility left, let the kid go back and play in college. But this is different. These are kids, you know, that are playing G League, which is the, you know, for those of you who don't know, this is like the minor league for the NBA. Did you know that, Max, that you could play in the G League and go back to college?
I knew it was a new thing this year because I've also seen, much like you, just the bits and pieces about it on Twitter. But, like, I haven't really delved too much into it. And it's just, it's very bizarre to me getting the back and forth. I'm not really sure how it's all going to work out. But, I mean, we're going to find out.
Yeah. All right. I wanted to go back to something that we talked about for 5 minutes yesterday, because I had not been made aware really of the story until like early in the morning. And then, you know, after I mentioned and talked about it for 5 minutes, there was a lot of response to it. So I think people do want to weigh in, and I want to give you the opportunity to do so. So for those of you, you know, who know the story or don't know the story, let me just get everybody up to speed and on the same page, and then I'll ask you a question. So after the game on Sunday, when Jaden Daniels was injured in the game, I guess there were a lot of people on social media essentially suggesting, here we go again. He's the next RG3. He can't stay healthy. And so that was out there, certainly on social media. And Regina Jackson, Jaden Daniels' mom, who, by the way, is also Jaden's agent. She's a certified NFL agent. She tweeted out, quote, "I wish you would stop manifesting RG3 on my son. Words are powerful, and that's all that's talked about," closed quote. Now, my first reaction to this whole thing, well, let me give you the second part. Of course, you know, Robert Griffin III never misses an opportunity to sort of parachute in and be a part of the story, especially when it involves quarterback in Washington. And so he tweeted, quote, and he retweeted Regina Jackson's tweet and quoted it by saying, "I've always supported Jaden Daniels and want nothing but the best for him. By the way, nobody asked you, but appreciate you weighing in. Being QB1 in Washington, D.C. comes with an intense spotlight that I know very well. You love your son, and the real fans do too. I want a long, healthy career for him. He will always have my support," close quote. By the way, that's far from the most intrusive or even delusional, which we've had at times, tweets regarding anything having to do with our football team from RG3. In fact, you know, it is, I'll take him at its, he's an opportunist, clearly. This is what he wants to do, is be a part of the story, and he wants to once again remind everybody that injuries did him in. It was far more than the injuries that did RG3 in, okay? So I think we all understand that. Maybe America doesn't understand that, but we all understand it was far more than that. But this was actually, you know, there wasn't something that we can just roast him for. My first big takeaway, and I mentioned this on the show, and it has not changed, is, man, you know, I know she's an incredibly bright and smart woman, and she's involved as an agent, etc. Don't be on social media after games, especially games in which your son's team loses, and especially after games in which your son's team loses, he doesn't play his best and he gets injured. And then if you are on social media and you're getting wound up over what people are saying, don't respond. Don't respond. But whatever. Beyond that, do people have a point? And I'm wondering, are you concerned about Jaden's three injuries, really three, the rib injury from last year, the knee injury from this year, and now we've got a hamstring injury? I know there have been a couple of other nicks. You know, there was a wrist. Remember, he was on the injury report earlier this year, earlier this season with a wrist. He played. But those are the three biggies, three in 27 potential games. And look, he's only missed starting two games, right? Two games, the Raiders game and the Falcons game. He did not miss a start last year, and he's missed two starts this year. Did he play, you know, with a pain threshold issue with the rib last year? Yes. But the question is, are you now concerned about the big picture, the long-term picture? Will Jaden Daniels be healthy enough and available enough to become what we all believe he can become talent-wise, and that is, you know, one of the best that's ever played, certainly in this organization? He's already had one of the greatest seasons, the greatest rookie season in NFL history, and certainly one of the great NFL quarterback seasons for our franchise in a long, long time. What are you thinking when it comes to his health and his ability to stay healthy?
Real quick.
301-230-0980. Open up phone lines. I'll give you my answer when we come back. Max will have an answer for you as well. I do want you to know that Window Nation knows right now that times are tough for some folks in the D.C. area, especially with the government shutdown. If you've been impacted, Window Nation wants to help. Right now, you can buy two windows and get the next two free with no limit, along with the option of making no payments and paying no interest for two full years. That's legitimate relief and a great way to make your home more comfortable before winter arrives. With an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied customers right here in the DMV, you can trust Window Nation to take care of you and your home. So don't wait. Visit WindowNation.com before October 31st to get started. WindowNation, quality windows, flexible financing, and comfort you can count on.
All right, happy Wednesday, everybody. A little bit of breaking news on the front of the Washington Commanders. According to Tom Shad and Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels will be out for Monday night's game against the Chiefs. A person familiar with the matter confirmed. NFL Network, Ian Rappaport, had it first. We move to the Caps. They get the win over the Kraken last night. Ryan Leonard credited with the game-winning goal. Jacob Chychrun with the power play goal. The Caps fourth in their last four games, getting that extra man unit rolling. Not a lot of shots in Logan Thompson's direction last night, saving 18 out of 19 shots. The NBA season got underway last night with the Rockets and Thunder double overtime thriller. Reigning MVP Shai Gilgeous-Alexander puts up 35-5-5. And puts away the game-winning free throws. Thunder win 125-124. The Warriors, they get a win over the LeBron James-less Lakers. But Luka Doncic with a solid offensive night for Los Angeles with a 43-12-9 on 17 of 27 shooting, but 2 of 10 from three-point land. But Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry combined for 54 points and lead Golden State to a 119-109 victory. Tonight, the Wizards, they kick off their season in Milwaukee. They're taking on the Bucks. Preview show with Nick Ashew that begins at 6:30 on our sister station, 106.7 The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type of the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Denton's office throughout all football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth.
plays a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, there you go. The breaking news. Ian Rappaport 7 minutes ago, as Max just had in his What's Trending, is going to be out for Monday Night Football against the Chiefs. Marcus Mariota will get his third start of the season. Rappaport added, while not long-term at all, Jaden Daniels' hamstring knocks him out versus the Chiefs. This will be, This isn't, I don't believe, based on what Quinn said and the way he presented it on Monday. This is not going to be a long-term thing. I'll tell you what, man. I'm fine with this. Totally fine with this for so many reasons. Number one, this is not a rib injury. This isn't a pain threshold thing, right? He went out there against the Bears last year, you know, with whatever shot they gave him before, and it was a pain threshold. There wasn't any significant risk, we don't think, and he could play. You can't do that with the knee that he had against Green Bay, and you can't do that with a hamstring because it does lead to other things if you're favoring it, and it could also become something that's more serious. I'm not trying to play doctor or internet doctor, but we know hamstring issues can linger, especially if they're more severe. So I have no issue with them holding him back from this game. The other thing that's in play here is just, I think I mentioned this, you know, yesterday or earlier in the show. They'll be coming off, it's an AFC game, number one. The Seattle and the Detroit games that follow at home are much more important games. And look, every game's important now. You know, I'm not turning down a win over the Chiefs, clearly. A win, you need wins. And, you know, the idea, by the way, that just do well in your division and everything's fine, that's so much a long ago kind of a thing. You play 17 games and you only play 6 against your division. You go 2-4 in the division, but in the other 11, go 7-4. You got a chance to make the postseason. You got to do well in the other 11 as well. But the NFC games are more important to tiebreaker situations. The tiebreaker goes in order, head-to-head, and then conference record. And your conference record has to be, it is not going to be great if the majority of your wins are, you have too many AFC wins. So Seattle and Detroit, more important from that standpoint, if they're even thinking about that. But the other part of this is that Seattle is off a bye week. Okay, Seattle played Monday night, beat the Texans, and now they have a bye week and don't play until coming here on Sunday night, November 2nd. Meantime, Washington will be in that net rest major disadvantage, having played on Monday night. So the idea of putting him out there for a game that is important, but actually not as important as the next one, with an injury that is potentially risky, could cost him more games and the more important games, especially the next one, which is on a short preparation week against Seattle. I don't have a problem with this. I think the key to them being competitive on Monday night is using Mariota as a big part of the run game. He is really good as a zone read quarterback and as a dual threat quarterback. And then, you know, fingers crossed, you get Terry and Debo both back, but at least have one back. You know, I had somebody suggest to me, I may have read this on the show yesterday, that maybe this is the game where you rest the starters. They don't do that in the NFL unless you're at the end of a season and you've got nothing to play for. They're not resting their starters. There's only 53 that can be activated. You know, you can't play non-starters and get through a game for the most part. I'm not surprised by this. I think we talked about this, that they're, you know, listening to Quinn, it certainly sounded like there was a chance that he could miss, you know, the Monday night game. I didn't think we'd hear anything until tomorrow, unless Schefter or Rappaport got it, and they did. So he's out. We don't have much time for your calls on the other subject, but we do have a couple of calls on hold, so I'll take some. But I did want to say about the question that I put out there for phone calls at 301-230-0980, and that's this. Is there a large concern, career concern, with the way RG3's brilliant, very brief career has started with injuries? Look, he hasn't been knocked out of the season with an injury. Rib, knee, now hamstring. He's only missed two starts. He'll miss his third start on Monday night. Are you concerned that somehow what everybody thought and was tweeting enough to get Regina Jackson, Jaden's mom, to respond, that this is going to be another situation? The two quarterbacks couldn't be different, you know, personality-wise and style-wise. Honestly, I don't think there's much similarity other than them both being Heisman Trophy winners, selected number two overall, and selected by our team. After that, the similarities really, I think, you know, veer in opposite directions, personality-wise and playing style-wise. But injury-wise, could there be a comparable here? Look, RG3 had two major knee issues at Baylor and then came in had a major knee issue in the NFL. And while a different stature physically, not that much different, was awkward because he did not have that great vision. Doesn't mean the injury rate in the pocket is higher than the injury rate outside of it for quarterbacks. But anyway, do I have a large, you know, concern? I'm concerned. It was the only thing I was concerned about when he got drafted. I said it over and over again. Which, Sheehan, you're so into this dude. Do you have any concerns? Yeah. He's got a frame that I just wonder if it'll be able to hold up physically in the NFL. Because he got banged up a few times at LSU. Nothing serious. But he was, you know, occasionally on the injury report. Occasionally playing less than 100%. So I do fear that he's going to be an in and out of the lineup, you know, that we're going to deal with these things every season. Hopefully he doesn't miss seven games a year. It's just three or two or none. But I do think, and I am concerned about dealing with this. And by the way, what it does to his physical, you know, health and how that impacts his style of play. Max, do you have a fear?
It's a little concerning, especially just when like these little ones pile up. But I mean, you saw and have seen how hamstring injuries can affect guys, namely Marshon Lattimore, these past couple years. It's just he's lost the step. And so that kind of just seeing how it affects other guys down the line, it just makes you really hope and pray that they're going to take their time with this, which is why I'm not really that concerned about him missing this game. Like, yeah, it sucks. Mahomes versus Jaden Daniels ain't happening anymore, but there will be more time for that. Hopefully a Super Bowl next year, maybe even this year still. Who knows? But yeah, long term, it just, you hope that everything is going to be, and obviously with your franchise quarterback, you're going to be as cautious as possible, but you just hope that he doesn't like, I can play, I can play, I can play, kind of like Robert did.
We're not going to have a lot of time for calls here, but let's get Kevin and Clinton on. He was the first to jump in. Kevin, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Kevin? Good afternoon, man. First of all, I want to say shout out to all the Commander fans who came down to Dallas because I was at the game. Second of all, man, I'm real concerned, man. Real concerned because it seems like we're going to go down that rabbit hole again, man. First of all, his mother is calling all the shots, like I just told Max. And it seems like he's thinking about his brand, like I told a lot of people down in Dallas. I seen that commercial, that Camel's commercial.
Oh, come on, man.
Thought about, that, yeah, I'm sure.
This
I'm
isn't,
sure, yeah,
this isn't an RG3 comparison. RG3 was totally focused. He was trademarking hashtags, you know, from the moment he arrived in the league. He was completely self-absorbed with his brand, focused on it.
Right.
It's but not I'm the same
saying,
thing.
Cam, okay, but I'm saying, Cam, he needed to get back focused. That's not the same dude that we seen last year, man. I'm real concerned. I hope it's not he don't have a whole lot of injuries with it be his career ending, man. But like I told Max, he need to fire his mother, man. and get back to being the
this is not a situation where you've got the father and you've got the sister and you've got people in locker rooms and you've got people talking to the owner. The biggest difference, and I got to go, Kev, thanks for calling. The single biggest difference, more than any other, because there are a lot of differences, is RG3 came to an organization owned by Dan Snyder, who was a suck-up to every star player, a total jock you-know-whatter. And he took that entitlement and ran with it. That opportunity, even if Jaden were predisposed to take advantage of it, which I don't think he is, does not exist in this organization. These are professionals. These are adults. Back tomorrow.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.